Okay, we left off yesterday. We started the sugya on Daf Lamed Zayinim Beis at the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had basically said that if an Eved gets captured, and you go ahead and you free the Eved, you redeem the Eved from captivity, so the Tanakhama holds it all depends on what your Kavana is. If you're redeeming him from captivity so that he can be an Eved again, so he's an Eved. If you redeem him from captivity to make him a free man, so now he's a free man. You're the one that redeemed him, you can determine his fate. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it doesn't matter what your Kavana is, either way he's going to be an Eved. There were two basic approaches to the Mishnah. Abaye's approach to the Mishnah was that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the original owner from whom he was captured had not yet given hope of retrieving that Eved, and that's why if you redeem him L'Shem Eved, he goes back to that original owner. If you redeem him L'Shem Ben Chorin, even though the original owner has not yet given hope, given up hope on retrieving his Eved, he does not go back to the original owner, because we're afraid that no one's ever going to want to redeem an Eved if they know that when you redeem him, he's just going to go back to his original owner. That's the Tanakama's view in Abaye's understanding, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's view in Abaye's understanding is that no, we have no reason to fear that people won't want to redeem an Eved, because it's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved. People are always happy to do a mitzvah. So since it's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved, as long as the original owner has not yet had Yeush, he has not yet given up hope, it doesn't matter what your Kavana is, he still belongs to the original owner. And therefore he'll always go back into Shibud of the original owner. Rava's approach to the Mishnah, however, is different. Rava's approach to the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the original owner has given up hope on ever retrieving the Eved. In that case, if you're redeeming him L'Shem Eved, it's not that he becomes an Eved to the original owner, he becomes your Eved. You're the one paying for him, you're the one redeeming him, he becomes an Eved to the person who's actually redeeming him. If you're redeeming him L'Shem Ben Chorin to be a free man, well, he doesn't belong to the original owner anymore, he's given up hope, you aren't making any claims on him, you're redeeming him to be a free man, so then he's taka a free man. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, within Rava's point of view, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will come along and say, no, because true, that's what it should be. That's what the halacha should be. It should all depend on what your kavana is. But we have a practical concern over here. If we're going to make it that a second master is going to be able to redeem him after Yeush and either set him free totally or bring him into his own rishus, then an Eved who has a bad situation, an Eved who doesn't like his owner, could just very simply could try to make sure that he gets captured, to be held in captivity, so that he'll be redeemed, and Mimanavshach will be better off than he is now. Either he'll win the jackpot and he'll go free, or he'll at least have a better master, he'll have a Rabbo Sheni. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in Rava's view says that he goes back to Rabbo Rishon, no matter what. Even though the original owner had given up hope on him, and really by right he should have no bailus whatsoever anymore, but since we're concerned that the Eved's going to pull these strings and do this on purpose, he's always going to go back to Rabbo Rishon, Shalo Yehechot Eniskar, so that he shouldn't win out by being captured. There shouldn't be any benefit for him in being captured. So we're holding now about seven lines from the bottom of the page, Meisvei. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Amar Lan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to the Tanakama, Kishem she mitzvah liftos es b'nei chorin, kach mitzvah liftos es avadim. Just like we have a mitzvah to redeem b'nei chorin, so too we have a mitzvah to redeem avadim. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's main argument is back to the Tanakhama. Now, if you understand the Mishnah the way Abaye did, that the original owner had not yet given up hope, so then I understand why that's the focus of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's claim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, look, he still belongs to the original owner, and you need not be concerned that no one's going to want to redeem him if he goes back to the original owner, because just like you have a mitzvah to redeem regular people, you have a mitzvah to redeem avadim, so there's no reason to be concerned, because it's a mitzvah. But according to Rava, that the whole Mishnah is talking about after the original owner gives up hope. Hai kishem? What, is the svara for Shimon Gamliel because of a mitzvah? No, the svara for why he goes back to the original owner is nothing to do with the mitzvah. It's mishum d'chizkiyahu. It's because of the din of chizkiyah that we're afraid that the guy is going to try to put himself in a situation where he's going to get captured. And therefore, as a knas, we bring him back to his original owner. Kasher. Nothing to do with Kashem. So this is a Raya against Rava. So Amalcha Rava, Rava would respond to that Raya, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lo Yodah, my Kamri Rabbanan, that just like there's a Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, what the Tanakama, what the Mishnah is talking about, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself wasn't sure what the Rabbanan, what the Tanakama and the Mishnah was talking about. Was he talking about before Yeush? Was he talking about after Yeush? V'achi Kamerlu, and this is what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying, Ilif Ne Yeush Kamrisu Hainu Kashem. If you want to tell me that we're talking about before Yeush, so then I have my argument that Kashem, that don't worry about people not wanting to redeem an Eved because he's going to go back to the original owner. Don't worry about that. It's a mitzvah. People will do it. And Ila Achar Yeush Kamrisu. And if what you mean, Tanakama, is that La Achar Yeush, that if the guy redeems him L'Shem Eved, he'll get to keep him. The Rabbi Sheni gets to keep him. And if he redeems him L'Shem Ben Chorin, he goes out free. Well, Kiddush Chizkiya. Well, then all I have to tell you is that we have every reason and every right to be concerned for Chizkiya. And he should therefore go back to the original owner, because we have a right to be concerned that the Eved will put himself in that situation on purpose. Fine. So that's a rejection of the first attempted Raya against Rava. Says the Gemara, Ula Rava da Amar La Achra Yeush, Ula Rabu Sheni Miman Kanilei. According to Rava that we're talking about, it's after the first owner has given up hope on him. And that's why when the second guy redeems him L'Shem Eved, he gets to keep him. But how does he make a kinyan on him? Where is the kinyan? So says the Gemara, Mishavai, he made the kinyan from the captors. He acquired him from the captors. But frak the Gemara, Shavai Gufemi Kanilei. Where did the captors make a kinyan on him? Hey, in what way did they have a valid form of kinyan on this Eved? So says the Gemara, in Kani Le Maisi Yadav. Yes, the captors in fact had a valid form of kinyan on the Maisi Yadayim, on the handiwork of the Eved. Damre Shlakish, Minayin La Ovid Kochavim Shekana Esa Ovid Kochavim Le Maisi Yadav. How do I know that a guy is able to acquire another guy vis a vis his Maisi Yadayim? Shenemar Vigam Mibnei Atoshavim Agerim Mimachem Mehem Tiknu. And we dash Natem Kone Mehem, that you're able to be kona from them, meaning you're able to be kona a guy. V'lohem kona michem, a guy is not able to be kona a Jew. V'lohem kona mizem izeh, nor are they able to be kona each other. So says, and then it continues, yachalo yiknu zeh azeh, I might think they're not able to be kona each other. So the Gemara stops for a second. Wait a second. The last two lines just contradicted each other. We said, we darshan from this pasuk, they're not able to be kona each other. Then we say, well, I might think they're not able to be kona each other. So, yachalo yiknu zeh zeh, ha'amrit lohim konim zemizeh. I might think they can't be kona each other. You just said that they can't be kona each other. So, achi kamar, this is what we mean to say. This long drash was all trying to make one point. V'lohim konim zemizeh legufo. They can't be kona each other to have a bailus on the guf of the other guy, to own the other person in totality. Yachalo yiknu zeh ezeh lemaisi yadav. I might think he can't even be kona the other, a guy can't even be kona another guy for the work that he's able to do. So amrit kal v'chomer. So for that we say a kal v'chomer. Ovid kochavim Yisrael kona. A guy is allowed, cannot own a Jew in terms of owning him in, totally to own his body, but a guy can own a Jew legabe his maisi adayim. So if a guy has the ability to be kona a Jew's maisi adayim, it's a pasuk in Chumash Rashi quotes, ovid kochavim lo kol shkein, then for sure a guy can own a guy vis-a-vis his maisi adayim. So says the Gemara, okay, so now we see that a guy is able to acquire a guy. So when the captors took him, they acquired him regarding his maisi adayim. When the second master comes along and redeems him, so he's acquiring him from the captors regarding the Maisi Adayim. But Frekta Gemara, ve'imahani mili b'kaspa v'b'chazakalo, maybe the only way a guy is able to acquire another guy's Maisi Adayim is if he uses a Kinyan Kesef, if he uses money. But if he just tries the standard form of chazaka on an eved, which the Gemara tells us is to do some form of avdus with him, Rashi quotes it over here, of hilbisho hinilo hirchitza l'rabo, having him do some form of avdus for the master, maybe that's not good enough. Maybe that's not a good, valid enough form of kinyan for a guy to be kona another guy's ma'aseh yadayim. So Rav Papa, amun umav, tir Rav Sichon. So Rav Papa says, no, we know that that's okay as well. The chazak is okay as well. You don't need a kinyan kasef. And the raya is, amun umav, tir Rav Sichon. What's the raya? So Rashi explains, we discussed this in the drasha actually a few weeks ago, that when the Klal Yisrael had a mitzvah, an aveira actually, that we were told in Parshas Devarim, the Chumash tells us that we're not allowed to fight a war against Moab. So there were certain lands that we couldn't get as long as they were in the hands of Ammon and Moab. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do if he wanted us to have Sichon, to have these lands? So to have these lands, what did he do? He allowed Sichon to conquer the lands from Ammon and Moab. Now they weren't in the hands of Moab anymore. We were able to take them directly from Sichon. And that's what that means. Amun Moav Tiru B'Sichon, that we were unable to take the lands directly from Amun Moav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishtal Shel Dvarim, made sure that it worked out, that we didn't take it from Amun Moav. Those same lands were first conquered by Sichon, so we took it from them. How did Sichon get it? So they had some help from Bilam, because Bilam was upset with Amun Moav, because he hadn't received his payment that he thought he deserved. So he helped them along in a war effort to defeat Amun Moav. So so from there we see there was no Kenyan Kesef over there, but they were able to acquire everything. They were able to acquire the whole country, the whole land, based on the normal standard warfare. So we see that when a captor captures a slave, a non-Jewish captor captures an Eved Kanani, he's able to acquire him l'maisi yadayim, even though there's no Kenyan Kesef. So says the Gemara, Ashkechan Ovid Kochavim Ovid Kochavim. We find that a guy can acquire another guy. Ovid Kochavim Yisrael Minalan. How do I know that a guy can acquire a Jew for Maisi Adayim even without a Kinyan Kesef? Meaning previously we said it was Pashat that he can acquire him, but that was with a Kinyan Kesef. How do I know that by capturing him he can also acquire his Maisi Adayim? Tichsiv Ayesh Mimenu Shevi. That they've taken captives, and that's a valid form of Kinyan for them. We mentioned that Rav Nevensal has in one of his sichos on Parshas Chukas points out that the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, darshins from the same psukim that discuss the war of Amun Moav against Sichon, of Sichon defeating Amun Moav. The Gemara darshins from there, where it says Al Kain Yomru Amoshlim Bo Cheshbon, that Bo Vnasu Cheshbon Shalolam. The Gemara darshins that whenever a person does something, he has to be able to figure out Schar Mitzvah Kenegadav Seda and Schar Aveira Kenegadav Seda. Right, the person should always take into the Cheshbon exactly what the repercussions of his actions are. So Rav Nevensal asks, why would the Torah teach us that moral lesson of taking into account the repercussions of your actions, of the schar mitzvah and the hefsid of a mitzvah? Why would it teach us that in the context of milchama with Amun Moav and Sichon, of all the places to teach us that idea? So Rav Nevensal pointed out very beautifully that when it comes to that war, you think about what must have been going through Sichon's head. There's no doubt that Sichon was thinking, this is amazing, we just won a war, we're rolling now, everything's going great for us now, we're so strong, we're so mighty. And they didn't realize that in the bigger picture, they were just a pawn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed them in place so that Klal Yisrael could beat up on them and take their land away from them. Because had it remained with Amun Moav, Klal Yisrael wouldn't have been allowed to take it from them. So they were just a pawn in the bigger picture. So it's dafka in that context that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Chazal Darshin, the idea that you have to measure Schar Mitzvah Kenegadav Seida, that very often you do something, you make a decision, you think you have the big picture in mind, you think you understand all the repercussions, but we don't even have a clue of just how far-reaching the repercussions of our actions are. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. Keep in mind what the true Schar Mitzvah is. It's not just that you'll feel good for 2 seconds. There's real eternal schar for something that you do. And the hefsid is that it may cost you a couple of dollars, or it may cost you a few minutes of your time, or maybe uncomfortable, whatever it may be, whatever the hefsid is for any given mitzvah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. I'm Rav Shem Barabba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Eved shabarach mives asurim yotzal l'cheirus. If an eved runs away from captivity, from jail, he goes free. V'lo'od, not only does he go free, el shakofnes rabba because of lo get shichrur. We force the master to try to get shichrur for him. T'nan, Rav Shem Gamliel, Omer, ben kach u ben kach yishtabev. In our Mishnah, we said that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. When you redeem a captive, he automatically goes right back into captivity, even if you're redeeming him l'shem ben chorin, so that he could be free, still he goes right back into captivity. Va'amar Rabba bar Rechana amar Rabbi Yochanan. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's name appears in the Mishnah, we always paskin that way, except for three exceptions, which we're not going to get into now. So says the Gemara, keep in mind it was Rabbi Yochanan who taught that the Eved runs away, he goes free. So I understand very well, according to Abaye's understanding of our Mishnah, our Mishnah was saying that he goes back into captivity if the original owner did not yet have Yeush, had not yet given up hope on him. So the original owner never lost his bailus. And therefore, it doesn't matter what you have in mind when you redeem him, he's always going to go back to the original owner. That I understand very well. And the case of where Rabbi Yochanan says the Eved runs away, he goes free, that's talking about after the original owner gave up hope on him, so he's going to go free. So that works out fine. El Rava Damar L'Acha Yeish, but according to Rava, that the case of our Mishnah is talking about after the original owner gave up hope on him, well, how come in the Mishnah, Kashat Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan? How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan passes like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, that after the original owner gave up hope on him, he's still going to go back to the Abdus of the original owner, regardless of your Kavana, when you redeem him, and yet at the same time, the Rabbi Yochanan Paskins, when the Eved runs away, he goes free. He doesn't go back to the original owner. So it says in Mar Amilcha Rava, Taima Mai, Mishum Dechizkiya. Because what was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's logic in our Mishnah? Why, when the original owner already gave up hope on him, does he still always go back to the original owner? Because of Chizkiya's concern that an Eved's going to put himself in this situation on purpose in order to get away from a miserable situation where he doesn't like his original master, his original owner. And that's why we say, too bad, he can't pull any tricks, he can't play any games with us, we bring him right back to his original master. But do you really have to be concerned about that in a case of an Eved who escapes? Keep in mind, this guy risked his life. Meaning, we're not going to be concerned that people are going to typically allow themselves to go into captivity and then try a dangerous escape. If they're going to do something dangerous and risk their lives, that's not something they have to be concerned and avadim are going to do on purpose in order to be able to get out of the avdus of the original owner. And therefore, you can go with what the Ikar HaDin really should be, which is that if once there was already yeush from the original owner, he's no longer in the control of that owner. Okay, now it's story time. Says the Gemara, Masay Demar Shmuel Ishtavai, the maidservant of Rebbe was of Mar Shmuel rather was captured. Parku l'shumam hasa, and they redeemed her to be a group of people got together and they redeemed her from captivity in order to be a maid. Vishadru alei, and they sent her back to him, and Shalchulei along with her, they sent a message to him that, by the way, the reason we're giving her back, you should know, Anan Krab Shimon Gamliel Sfirulan, we hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that regardless of what our kavanas are when we redeemed her, she always goes back to the original owner. That's why you're getting her back. And Ati Nami Krabanat Sfirulach, and even if you hold like the Rabbanan, Anan Lushamam Hasa Parkin Laneala, don't worry. When we redeemed her, our kavana was that she should go back to Avdus. So either way, whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you hold like the Rabbanan, she's yours. So don't feel bad about taking her back. V'inu savar l'fnei Yehushava. Now they thought, when they presented their case, that why she should go back to him, they thought that he had not yet been miyaish, and that's why he gets her back. But v'lohi la'achra Yehushava. But it actually wasn't true. It was really after Yehush already. So Shmuel lo mibaya distributed lo mashavila, and therefore not only did Shmuel not bring her back into Avdus, el gita de cherusa nami lo atzka, he didn't even require her to have a get shichur, he didn't even give her a get shichur. So says more Shmuel the time, and this is Shmuel l'shitaso, damer Shmuel amafker avdu yatzal cherus ve'im tzarech get shichur, that if someone makes his eved hefker, that's it, the eved's free, you don't need a shtar shichur or anything. Now normally we assume that by an eved you have two kinyanim, you have a double ownership of him, you have a kinyan mamon and a kinyan iser. The fact that a person is an Eved means you own him in terms of his work and everything like that. That's a Kinyan Mamon. It also means he has the halachos of an Eved regarding who he's allowed to marry, regarding his chiv and mitzvos. Right? So that's a Kinyan Isser. When you're mafkir and Eved, that's a monetary transaction. Right? Being mafkir and Eved is the getting rid of the Kinyan Mamon. That, how does that get rid of it? Normally the get shichrur, we would assume, is what gets rid of the Kinyan Isser. So how is mafkir avdo enough? you just get rid of the kinyan mamon. Apparently, Shmuel holds, once you get rid of the kinyan mamon, the kinyan iser mimela falls away with it. Right? They get rid of the kinyan mamon, the kinyan iser goes away with it. Frek the ktsos and simon reish, os hey, if that's the case, why does it get shukr need to be written lishma? Just make it a regular, lishma is an indication of a kinyan iser kind of document. A get needs to be done lishma, right? Because you don't have a kinyan mamon on your wife, you have a kinyan iser on your wife, right? So a get lishma seems to be an indication of a kinyan iser kind of document. When you're writing a regular shtar to buy a house or something, it doesn't need to be written lishma, as long as the shtar says what it's supposed to say, and there are kasher edim signed on the bottom, so good, you have a good shtar. So why does the get shukr have to be written lishma? Make a regular kinyan mamon document, and as soon as the kinyan mamon is chal, memele, the kinyan iser goes along with it. So says the ktsos, in a chinami, that's true, it should work. But let me ask you something the ktsos says. If you're selling a field to somebody, and you write a shtar on that field, not lishma or anything, you write a shtar on that field, and then instead of giving the person the shtar, you put the shtar in the field. And say, okay, now you acquire it through me putting the shtar in the field. That doesn't work, because the person doesn't own the field yet. So he says, granted, you go, what are you going to do with this shtar that's only kinyan mamon? You're going to give it to the eved. Masha kana eved kana rabo. The eved can't be kona anything, because he's still yours. So the only way that you're going to be able to effectively give him a shtar that's going to do something, that's not just going to go right back into your hand, is if you do it lishma and you make sure that the shtar is able to uproot the kinyan iser as well. So anyway, the Gemara goes on to explain what Shmuel's drasha is. Shenemar v'kol eved ish miknas kesef. So it's a strange phrase the pasuk uses. Eved ish. What, only if it's an eved ish and not if it's an eved isha? Eved ish v'lo eved isha. Why does it say that it's dafka by an eved ish? The eved of a man is able to get a mila and eat the carbon pesach. Eved ish and not eved isha, not if it's an eved of a Jewish woman. Ela eved sheish lo rishus l'rabo lo kari eved. What it's trying to indicate to you is that an eved who still is in the control of his master is called an eved. Shein lo rishus l'rabo lo ein kari eved. If he doesn't have the rishus of his master over him, if he's not in control of his master, he's no longer called an eved. Meaning, once the kinyan mamon is gone, Mimele is not an eved anymore, legabe anything. The kinyan iser is gone as well. Next story. Amasid Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra Ishtabai. The maid of Rabbi Abba Bar Zutra was captured. Parka hu tamuda'a l'shum itza. So a certain tamuda'a, a guy went and redeemed her to marry her. He redeemed her because he was interested in marrying her. So Shalchu l'didei, the Rabbanan, were trying to size up the situation and see what they could do for Rabbi Abba. So they sent Rabbi Abba a message. They said, avis avadit shadu lagita de chirusa. If you want to do something good and you want to be able to get her back, send a shtar shichur. If you want to be able to do anything effective over here, you need to send a shtar shichur. So frek the Gemara, what's that going to accomplish? Hey chidami, what exactly is the case? Idematsu parkila, if the Rabbanan felt that they had the ability to redeem her from captivity, redeem her from this Tarmudai guy who had himself redeemed her to marry her. So if they felt they had that ability to do that, to negotiate with him, lama ligita de chirusa, what do you need a shtar shichur for? Just redeem her, get her back. Ida lomatsu parkilov, they were unable to redeem her, so to buy her back from this guy, kishadu ligita de chirusa mayhavi, then what's the get shichur going to do for you if they were unable to redeem her anyway? Says Gemara liom de matsu parkilov, they were able to redeem her. Vikivin de mishadu ligita de chirusa, that the case is they were able to redeem her, but they needed to rally up the troops to get people interested in chipping in and trying to make it happen. And they thought that if he sends a get shichur, so that, and people realize that redeeming her doesn't mean they're just redeeming a woman to go be a slave again, so then people will be interested, they'll get together and they'll try to actually make sure it happens. The Iba you say more, another possibility is Leon de Lomatsu Parkila. Maybe they really couldn't redeem her. So they figured Vikim de Mishad Lagita de Khrusa Mitzla Bape Mafrikla, meaning this Tamudai who had redeemed her from captivity was in love with her, he wanted to marry her. They figured, how can we make him fall out of love with her? I know, if we have her old master who is a Jew send a get shichur, in which case it will become publicized that she used to be a shivcha to a Jew, that will be so humiliating for him to want to marry someone who used to be a shivcha for a Jew, she'll be beneath him to want to marry her anymore, and therefore he'll be more willing to give up. So says the Gemara, really, is that something that's so humiliating to him? To marry someone who used to be a shivcha to a Jew? They prefer Jews' animal more than their own wives. So how can you say that, because anything that was associated with a Jew they're interested in. So how can you say that it would be embarrassing to him? So it says, no, hanimila betsina, farhesya zilabu milsa. Deep down in the heart of hearts, yeah, they'll prefer the animal of a Jew over their own wives. But in public, to take a public stand that they're willing to marry someone who used to be a shivcha to a Jew, that they're not willing to do. It's only privately in their heart of hearts that they're willing to assume that way. Some of the achronim relate this to the idea that the chavivin behemtav shal yisrael yosem nosh seyem to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Beis, that the nachash was matil zuama in Chava, that he put some sort of, I don't even know how the best way to translate zuama, some sort of impurity, something that makes her disgusting, into Chava, and Klal Yisrael, who was only by Har Sinai, was Paska Zuamasan. The Zuama stopped from Klal Yisrael when we were at Har Sinai. So that's why there's this special charm or something that we have that made makes the Gemara assume that they always want to connect to us. Obviously over here we're not even talking about a Jew, we're talking about a Shivcha Kenanis over here. But the Gemara is associating with anything that belongs to a Jew. Or you could even say, based on the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vav, says that even a ger was paska zua masan, because even the gerim hasidim l'skayer were also at Har Sinai. So the shivcha is sort of on her way to gioris, to becoming a gioris as well, right? You free a slave, they become a Jew. So it could be that she too was at Har Sinai. Rabbi Kiva Eger along the way in the Gilyan Hashas over here has a kasha. What did they tell him? Go send her shtar shichur, right? This woman was captured, a Talmudai redeemed her. Send her shtar shichur. So Frekta If they didn't have if Bezin doesn't have the ability to redeem her, to get her back from the Gayim, so the owner loses any rights to make her hegdish, to make her hefker. The halacha is, the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia says, that if you don't have the ability to be motzi with dayanim, with the Jewish dayanim, to be motzi that land or that eved from wherever it is, so then you don't have the ability to be makdish it. If you don't have the ability to be makdish it, or to do any financial monetary transactions, what's the shtar shichur going to help? How do you have the ability to send a shtar shichur if the eved is totally in the hands of the Ovdei Kochavim? So Reb Chaim Moser in the Achiezer Chel Gimel Simon Dalet writes that perhaps what you do have the ability, you don't have the ability to affect any sort of kinyan mamon. You can't be mafkir, you can't be makdish, but a kinyan isser you can affect. And maybe when you attack it from the angle of kinyan isser, maybe just like we saw before that Shmuel holds that the kinyan mamon follows kinyan mamon. Maybe when you're able to affect the kinyan isser, the kinyan mamon follows. Meaning you're unable to be mafkir and therefore affect the kinyan mamon. But maybe if you do get shichur where you're affecting a kinyan isser, maybe the kinyan mamon memela will follow. Rav Moshe and the Dibros Moshe says a different pshat. He says, no, that which the Gemara says, that imeinu yachal hotzio b'dayanim, if you're unable to retrieve it with dayanim, then it's not, you don't have the ability to be matashit. Einu yachal means you don't have the halachic ability to be motzio b'dayanim. It doesn't mean you don't have the practical ability. Over here, the issue is that you don't have the practical ability, because Lemaisa wasn't Yad Yisrael Takifa, right? The Jews don't have control over what the Goyim are doing. So we don't have the practical ability. The halachic ability we do have. Says Gemara Vayter, there was a woman in Pumbedisa who men were violating Yisurim with her. There was a maidservant, and people were abusing her, sexually abusing her. So Amar Abaye, Ilav Domer Avidom Rishmol Kamashachar Avdo, over Ba'asei, had it not been for the fact that there's an Isra say in the Torah to free a slave, have a kayafnale the mar of a kasalagita de chirusa. I would have forced her master to set her free so that she shouldn't have to go through what she's going through. Ravina Amar ki ha mother of you, the Mishamilsa di Surah. Ravina says, no, in that case it's mutter. There's no Isra of setting her free in that case. Would Abaye say that there's no that if they're violating Yisurim with her, you're still not allowed to free her? Ha'amar Rav Chanina bar Rav Katina, Amar Rav Yitzchak Ma'aseh B'Yishachah Shechatz Yashifah chatzi baschorin is a case of a woman who's half slave, half baschorin, v'kafuas rabba v'asa baschorin, and they forced her master to make her baschorin. Why did they force her to make? Why did they force the master to make her a baschorin? Because they were treating her with minik hefker. They were totally abusing her. Now the Rashba writes in the Chidushim, the Rashba writes that whenever you have someone who's a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, there is no issur of le'olam ben tavodu. The whole idea of le'olam ben tavodu doesn't apply to a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. The whole mitzvah of that you're not allowed to ever free a non-Jewish slave doesn't apply in such a case. So the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah Shin Mem Zayin says, asks, according to the Rashba, what's the Gemara's kash over here? The Gemara says, how can you tell me that you're allowed to violate le'olam ben, how can you tell me you're not even allowed to violate le'olam ben tavodu when they're mistreating the person and it's l'shei mitzvah? Over here you see by the chatzi eved chatzi baschorin, you're allowed to free her because of it's l'shei mitzvah, because it's they were abusing her and it's l'shei mitzvah. But according to the Rashba, what kind of kasha? No, there is no issur of the olam bem tavodu according to the Rashba when it's a chatzi chatzi. The only issur of the olam bem tavodu is when it's total. The Ktzos explains the shita's Rashba. Why would there be no issur of the olam bem tavodu when it's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin? So the Ktzos explains, because since, and granted, the way we practically work out a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin situation is that he's ovid as rabbi yom echad and ovid as atzmo yom echad. He switches off days between serving himself and serving his master. But at every single moment, he's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. That's his status. And therefore, says the Ketzos, you're not going to be able to do avodas perach with him. There's an iser to overwork him. So meila, the only time you have a mitzvah l'olam ben tavodu is when you have him as a real eved doing ma'isa avdus. But you're never going to be able to do real ma'isa avdus with this guy. So therefore, there's no iser of l'olam ben tavodu. But again, fret the minchas chinuch. What's the gemara's kasha then? If there's no iser of l'olam ben tavodu in this case, so the oneg yantif in siman and aleph in Tshuva writes that maybe the Rashba only meant there's no le'olam ben tavodu by a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, but chatzi shivcha chatzi bas chorin, maybe there still is an issur of le'olam ben tavodu. Why? Because by the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, there's a major discrepancy between the two halves of this guy in terms of his chiyuv and mitzvos. An eved is chayuv and mitzvos ki isha, a ben chorin is chayuv and all mitzvos. Whereas the chatzi shivcha chatzi baschorin, there's no discrepancy between her two sides legabe achiv and mitzvos. And since there's no discrepancy between the two sides of what she is and what she represents, maybe there still would be an iser of li'olam ben tavodu. So that's the Gemara's kasha. That how can it be that we allow the master to free her in the case of chatzi shivcha chatzi baschorin? What happened to li'olam ben tavodu? So says Gemara, hachi hashi. You can't compare that to the case of the woman who was just being who is a regular shivcha, who is just being people are doing averos with her. Hasam lola eved chazi v'lola ben chorin chazi. When a woman is half, she can't marry anyone. But a case of a woman who's a regular shivcha and people were just doing averus with her, you can always assign an eved to marry her, and that eved will protect her, will make sure people don't abuse her anymore, and that's a better eitza rather than violating lolam mem tavodu to free her. Tosus on the bottom of Kol Mashachar Avdo over Ba'asei asks that the Gemara later on is going to say that if a person at the time of his death says that I don't want anyone using my shivcha for avdus anymore, so we force the yorshim to write a get shichur on her because they're not allowed to use her for avdus anymore. So Tosfos says, how can we force the yorshim to do an iser li'olam bem tavodu? How can you force them to write a get shichur? So Tosfos says, no, since the yorshim aren't allowed to use her anymore because there's mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, maybe they have to write a get shichur. There's no iser of li'olam bem tavodu because they're not allowed to use her anymore because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. And the Achronim all ask on Tosfos, how does mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, this idea probably midrabanan of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, beat out the iser in the Torah of li'olam bem tavodu? So, in fact, the Mari Ben Lev, I saw quoted in the Higis over here in the Birei Adaf, Mari Ben Lev says that it's a Tos Sofer in Tosos, that it can't be that it's because of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hameis. That's not the issue over here. Rather, the issue is that it's Mutzal L'Shachar, is because as soon as the father said, I don't want you to use her in Avdus anymore, Mimela, she's automatically no longer, he violated Lo'olam Tavodu. He had already freed her, and she just needs the get shechur in order to finalize it. But the freedom from slavery was already done at that point in time. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Gufam Rav Yehuda Shmuel Kol Meshachar Avdo Over Ba'asei. Anyone who frees a slave is over Ba'asei. Shenemar Li'olam Em Tavodu, because the pasuk says Li'olam Em Tavodu. Meis Ve'Meisav Rav Lazar Shnuchnas Beis Saknas V'Lo Matzah Sar V'Shachar Avdo V'Shlima La'Sara. What about the story where Rav Lazar came to Shul and he realized there were only 9 guys for the minion, so he took his Eved and he was Meshachar his Eved to complete a minion, because once he was Meshachar him, he becomes a Jew, so he freed a slave to make a minion. Don't you see you're allowed to free a slave? So says Gemara, no, mitzvah shiny. That was for the sake of a mitzvah. It's different. Now the same Gemara appears in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin, where the Gemara then follows it up, says mitzvah. It's mitzvah baba avera, right? If the only way you're able to do the mitzvah is by doing the avera of lolam tavodu, that's a mitzvah baba avera. So the Gemara says, no, a mitzvah derabim shiny. But over here, it's not just your mitzvah; it's the public. It's for the public good. So that's what the Rishonim all discuss over there. The Rishonim discuss earlier in the Masechta as well in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel. The Rishonim discuss. Understand what kind of mitzvah da'oraisa is it that you need a minion for? Meaning, if it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we're really a mitzvah d'rabim. That's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. We're going to allow you to violate lo lam tavodu in order to do a mitzvah d'rabim. That's only d'rabbanan. What, davening with a minion? It's d'rabbanan. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So why do they need to make the minion? Why was it so important? So Tosa says you have to say it was for Parsha Zachar. That's why they need a minion to read Parsha Zachar. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rosh says, no, ayin achinami. A mitzvah d'rabbanan, if it's a mitzvah d'rabim, can overpower a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's the koach harabim. That's what the a mitzvah d'rabim can do. The Ramban has a totally different take. The Ramban says, no, what's the yisr of lo lamem tavodu? It's not an independent yisr. It's part of the larger yisr of lo sichanem, that you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam, you're not allowed to give a gift for nothing to a guy. So part of the yisur of lo sichanim is lo lamem tavodu, that you can't give the guy, just like you can't give him a gift. You can't give them themselves as a gift either. That's the lo lamem tavodu. But if you're doing it l'shem mitzvah, it's not a free gift. Just like the halacha is, you're allowed to give the garbage man a gift, or you know, once a year around the new year, you're allowed to give the garbage man a gift because it's not a free gift. You're doing it so they don't leave your trash cans all over the place, right? You're doing it so they'll be motivated to do a good job for you. So it's not a free gift. So too, if you're freeing your slave, not just out of the goodness of your heart because you're on rachmanus, but you're doing it because you want something from them, so merely you're allowed to do it. There's no problem with such a gift. Says Gemara Vaitatan Rabbanon, the Olam Tavod. Rabbi Shmuel says the only mem tavodu is not actually a requirement. It's only a rishus. You're allowed to keep them forever. Rabbi Kiva says it's a chiyuv. V'dilma Rabbi Lazar v'la kamandi am rishus. Maybe the reason Rabbi Lazar freed a slave to make a minion was because he held that there was no iser of freeing the slave. So says Gemara Lo Salkadai Tuch Tetani Behedra Rabbi Lazar Merchov. No, we have a brisa where Rabbi Lazar says explicitly that he holds it's a chiyuv. Amar Rabbi Bahani Tlas Mili Nachti Balibata Minuchsei. And there are 3 things that people do that cause them to lose their money. That in as a punishment for these averos, they lose their money. The mafki avdai l'chirvus. So number 1, they let their avadim go free. Number 2, desayri nechsayi b'shabata. They're always looking over their nechasim to see how their properties are doing on Shabbos. So they're worried about their business on Shabbos. And number 3, the kavisu desayu b'shabata bi'idan be'midrasha. They make a su'uda on Shabbos while the rabbi is supposed to be giving a shir. So they go and they have a su'uda Shabbos together with some friends during the time of the shir. So that's that makes the people lose all their money. Those 3 things. What do those 3 things have in common? So the Achronim discuss. The Chassam Sofer points out that the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Kuf Yotes says that Ashirim Shebe Eretz Yisrael have money in the Zchus that they give Maisros, that they give Maiser Ani and whatever, right? That they have they're Rachmanim on who they're supposed to be Rachmanim on the Aniim and the Levim, etc. But and the Ashirim in Bavel are Ashirim because they have the Zchus that they're Mechabdin HaTorah, they give cover to the Torah. The Ashirim in other places have the zchus that they're mechabed Shabbos. So he says each of these three things are the opposite of one of those. Those who are rachmanim on the aniim versus the guy who frees his eved because he has rachmanus on the eved kanani. Those who are mechabed Shabbos, obviously those who are mezalzel Shabbos over here by looking after their business, and those who are mechabed talmidichum, mechabed Torah, and these who are mezalzel in Torah because they're busy holding their suudos while the rabbi is giving his shir. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, shtei mishpachos hayu b'Yerushalayim. There were two families in Yerushalayim. Achas kava sudasa b'shabata. One of them was kaveh suda every day, every Shabbos, on Shabbos. Achas kava sudasa b'erev Shabbos. And one who used to be kaveh the suda on erev Shabbos, shtei nekru. They were both uprooted from their original positions of prominence. Why? Well, what's the iser? So the one who did it on Shabbos obviously was doing it at the wrong time on Shabbos. They were doing it on the time at the time of the rabbi's shir. So for that, they were ne'ekru. Well, what about the one who did it on Erev Shabbos, the family that used to have their suda on Erev Shabbos? So Rashi has two pshatim over here. First pshat in Rashi is that they would make their primary Shabbos suda, the one with all the really good foods, on Friday night rather than Shabbos day. And the Gemara Pesachim says, if you have a choice, kavod yom, kavod laila, kavod yom adif. You always have to save the better things for the day, for the daytime meal. So if you have something that you really like, a dessert that you really like, or something like that, better to have it during the day, not the nighttime. If you can only use silver at one of the meals, and the other one you have to use flatware or whatever, better to use the silver at the daytime meal, kavod yom adif. And these people did kavod laila adif. The other pshat Rashi says, no, they weren't having their meal on Friday night. They were having their meal on Friday afternoon. And that was a zilzul to Shabbos, because they weren't hungry when Shabbos came anymore. So they had no appetite anymore to be able to have a regular meal. Now, that pshat in Rashi, the Ramban, has a problem with, because he says, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in the 10th parakah of Pesachim, that ochel v'holich ad shetechshach, that you're allowed to eat on Erev Shabbos straight until Shabbos starts. So the Ramban answers that no, the problem was you're not allowed to do that bekvius. You shouldn't make bekvius a set meal on Friday afternoon, because that's really going to ruin your ability to prepare for Shabbos and ruin your ability to appreciate Shabbos when it finally comes. Okay, we'll try to make up some ground tomorrow.